Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, all three engines up and burning, 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the
You're listening to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show, episode 13. Hey there, Kate Hartley here, and welcome to another episode of the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in today. This is the show where I interview guests whose stories will inspire you to take the steps you need to create the life you want and educate you with tips and strategies to help you overcome your roadblocks. My guests all have one thing in common. And that is the passion to consistently take action, to follow their dreams and achieve their goals in life. On this show, you also hear what's working and not working in people's lives, the challenges they face, and more importantly, how they overcome those challenges, using their resourcefulness to get to where they want to be. Before I get into the details of my digestively healthy guest today, remember that you'll be able to listen to the replay of this interview via my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk. And it's also on my website, which you can find at flourishtherapy.co.uk. And there's a tab on the main menu bar for the radio show. So back to today's episode. I can't wait to introduce you to my guest. Her name is Lara Jessif, and Lara focuses on health with a digestive twist. She not only educates people on healthy foods, but helps them to become self-sufficient and learn how to listen to their body in order to determine the best diet and lifestyle for themselves. She uses her intuition to understand her clients' health and lifestyle as they work on healing the gut so the rest of the body can heal and work at its optimal state. She loves making a positive difference in people's lives, helping them to come off medication and get healthy just by making a few key lifestyle changes. Having suffered with depression in her early 20s and a range of health-related issues, she became obsessed with working out healthier alternatives that included simple changes to mindset and lifestyle. In 2013, she trained as a personal trainer and was even runner-up in a bodybuilding competition. So without further ado, let's go and hang out with Lara Jessif. Lara, welcome to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. How are you today?
Hi, Kate. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here. And I'm really looking forward to digging deeper and finding out exactly the steps that you took to get to where you are now, having especially overcome the health issues of your 20s. And I'm really excited to hear how you can help improve the lives of so many other people by using just a few simple steps. So to begin with, Lara, can you give people an idea of kind of, you know, share your story a little and give us an idea of what your background is, please?
Yeah, so you touched on it a little. I kind of was a little bit of a sickly person growing up through my 20s, suffering with depression, lots of inflamed body disorders, you know, like I was hospitalised with kidney infection, lots of UTIs. Things weren't right. My body was angry. I was working in a highly stressed job as well, so I kind of wasn't listening to my body. I wasn't aware of what's going on. I was putting my health last, ultimately.
Yeah.
And then I kind of I was made redundant from that job, actually, and I think that would be the only way for me to have left. So it was the universe telling me that's enough now. So then I just kind of fell into health. Like, I kept getting signs about health, and then I qualified as a personal trainer, and kept ignoring it. And then I worked for a chiropractor, a holistic chiropractor, who opened my eyes a bit more to mindset stuff and eating intuitively and mindfully.
Yeah.
And it kind of all developed from there. So I decided to quit my job Sarah Men in December, qualified as a life coach, and it kind of hit the ground running since then.
That sounds absolutely fascinating. Tell me, I mean, how do you eat intuitively? What's the sort of intuitive bit about that you do and offer to your clients?
Yeah, it's kind of going back to basics, really. Like, just eating until you're full. You're technically meant to leave a table still feeling like you could eat that meal again.
Yeah.
So it's eat your meal, enjoy every mouthful, savour the flavour, and it's okay to feel hungry. Like, I'm constantly telling clients, you don't have to eat every 2 hours. Like, it's okay to understand that your body is hungry and to compare it to, should I be eating now, or am I actually hungry, or is it just your head saying it's lunchtime, I should be eating now?
Yeah, I like that approach. It's something that personally I in the hot weather I struggle with it, but and also I'm doing a different kind of training at the moment, so I'm eating more regularly than I do sometimes. But I like to actually follow a fasting regime, so I fast like one day every out of every 5 days, and
yeah.
The first time I did it, I mean, I nearly bit off my fingers. I was just, it was painful. But then the second and third day I did it, it was just like, actually, this isn't that bad. And I actually quite look forward to the day when I fast. And and it really, it just made me much more conscious of knowing whether I'm hungry or knowing whether I'm bored and eating,
yeah,
or knowing whether I just need to have a pint of water because maybe I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that intuitive thing is learning how to listen to what your body's telling you. And but it's part of it. I don't know if this applies to other people, your other clients, but for me, certainly, it's kind of drowning out the noise of all the rubbish, all the emotions, all the stress, all the niggly bits of the day that, you know, I might think, oh, I'm just going to go and have a seed bar. And then I think, but I'm actually not really hungry. I'm just eating because I'm bored, or I'm a bit fidgety, or I'm procrastinating, which I'm really good at doing. And,
yeah,
you know, and you end up eating and drinking things that you actually don't really need.
Yeah. I mean, it's so common. It's generally with everyone and myself as well. I do that thing, actually. I recommend drinking a pint of water before you're going to eat. And it could just be that you're dehydrated, or go for a little walk. And then if your stomach's growling, then eat. But it's good that you mentioned the fasting as well, because fasting's amazing for digestion. And so many people are scared off of it because they talk about the starvation mode and your body's going to hold on to fat. But it's the case. Fasting's great for the right person. It doesn't suit everyone. I always say go for how you feel.
Yeah, no, that makes a massive difference, because I'm doing quite a bit of weight training. I'm not bodybuilding, but I change up my exercises every now and again because I think it's just good for your body to challenge it with something different. But at the moment, I'm following quite a sort of a heavy routine of regular weight training and then a couple of cardio sessions in the week as well. And I find when I'm on a weight training day, actually, I can't starve myself. I just get too hungry, and it's just, it's just too painful. And in the hot weather, I don't know if it's because we sweat out more and, you know, our electrolytes get in balance, but I find it much more difficult in the summer to fast than I do in the winter, strangely.
Okay.
Which, you know, and
it's everyone's different.
Isn't that funny? So intuitively, because I think I'm fairly, you know, intuitive about my own body's needs, but it's very difficult, you know, when you're sort of at a bit of a hurdle, which I suppose is probably why your clients come to you, because I guess they must have tried a whole host of things beforehand. And, you know, it's awful if they're trying to lose weight and they've been yo-yo dieting and, you know, they lose some and then they end up putting more back on. And, God, that must be just so frustrating. For somebody who's, you know, who's probably listening now and has gone through that cycle of yo-yo dieting and slimming down and the pain of that, and then the worst thing is then putting even more weight back on again afterwards, how do you deal with those sorts of issues for people?
Well, it's again, that's a really common thing for people to pick a diet because they want to lose weight for a certain event or certain time, and it generally goes back on when you start eating normally again, or however you were eating before. So I always try and educate them on lifestyle changes, and that it's not a diet, it's just lifestyle. That's why you kind of make little tweaks to the nutrition here and there, find out what you enjoy, what doesn't work for your body, and keep making tweaks. And you eventually start enjoying life and enjoying food, and it just suits your body and you know what works. But it's a slow process, but it's so much better than just having that on-off, quick, fast diet.
It is, because it's not all about what we eat, is it? It's like you say, it's an entirely, it's how you live your life. And it can't be a diet. It has to be a lifestyle change for it to be long-term. So, you know, what sort of lifestyle tips do you offer to your clients then, Lara?
It would be, because of the life coaching side of things, I always found that clients kind of knew what they should be eating, but there were reasons why they were not making those choices. So working on what their concerns are or what's coming up for them when they make those choices of food that they shouldn't be eating. I also work a lot on the dehydration. So many people are dehydrated and not realizing. And breathing properly. A lot of people don't generally breathe because so many people are stressed out. So deep belly breath actually calms them and makes them focus a little less on the desperation to eat some random food. Grounding, another massive thing that I love at the moment. There's some research on how just getting out and taking your shoes off and putting your feet on the grass.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's so lovely. And there's actually research now to say that the energy from the ground can get you into a positive state.
Yeah, I wrote about that in one of my articles a while ago, and I can't remember if it's the negative or the positive ions that you get from walking barefoot on the ground, but it does. I mean, I just love it, and we should all do much more of it. If you're lucky enough to live near a patch of sort of natural ground, whether it's grass or mud, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, anything. And you don't realize how much we just wear shoes all the time. We don't actually touch the ground ever.
No, it's so true. So what, you know, what sort of major changes do your clients find when they say start? I want to go into your courses in more detail in a little minute, because I think they're, you know, I've had a look and I think do you run three specific sets of courses, or what specifically do you do?
I have two programs at the moment, but one is the main one called Gut Instincts, and it's a 3-month program, and it's all about gut health. So there's three parts in that, it's mind, nutrition and exercise. And it kind of depends on when I first have the initial consultation with the person, depends on if they need a lot more of the mindset work or nutrition work, or if it's all about exercise.
Yeah, because you run a boot camp too, don't you? And is that a weekly thing that you do?
It is, yeah. It's just a local boot camp in the area, in the park, on a Wednesday evening. And it's great fun. I love the variety of just getting out there with a group of girls and just not shouting at them, but making them work.
You love it. You're just bossy, Lara.
I get my aggression out on them.
And do they find good I think the thing with something like fitness and boot camp, I used to run a martial arts group, and you know, for people would lose weight and they'd tone up because obviously they're burning up more calories. But I've always said to people, and I'm sure you do, if you actually want to lose weight, you've actually got to look at what you're sticking in your mouth, because ultimately that's the major problem. But when you're fitter, and you can feel those muscles underneath the skin or the fat, you know, it incentivizes you then to eat more healthfully and more mindfully. Do you find?
100%, yeah, because that's generally how I get my clients. So you kind of work with them on an exercise because they think that's what they need to do. And then they get that bug that they want more from just exercise. And then they start asking about nutrition and other ways that they can help with this and that. Definitely.
And when, for somebody who's perhaps not going through your boot camp, before we move on, tell me, if somebody's local to you, because you're in the Surrey area, aren't you, in the UK, how do people find and join your boot camp if they're interested in joining?
They can email me through my website, or there's a pop-up on my website as well that talks about boot camps, and you can click on there with your details. And the first session is free.
Hey, even better. So what's your website, Lara?
It's www.larajezeph.com.
And I'll make sure I include all links to you in the show notes anyway. So if anybody's out there in the Surrey area and they want to get fit, get in touch with Lara and you can join her boot camp. And in actual fact, the song that we're going to play in a little while is it's brilliant. I'm not even going to give it away because Lara can tell you that bit after it's played. But it's kind of related to boot camp stuff. So, what I was going to ask you about is how can we, what are the major telltale signs that we're not putting the right stuff inside our bodies? What are sort of the common diseases or disorders that people are sort of finding when they're not feeding themselves with the right nutrition?
Yeah, it's actually really simple signs that people just kind of brush off as, oh, it's only my body or it must be my genetics. But ultimately, we should be feeling and looking amazing. We shouldn't actually have these sort of symptoms. So any joint aches? If you get headaches, if you get dry skin, if you are bloated for sure, constipation or diarrhea, I talk about gut and poo a lot because of my background. people seem to talk to me all the time about their bowel movements as soon as I mention gut health coach. But when it comes and you have to. Like smelly gas, like we're all meant to fart, but it's not meant to be a really strong odor. So if you have that as well, but any and low energy, you're meant to like be jumping around. You're meant to be happy and vibrant and sleeping good quality sleep. So if you're not getting any of that, that's stuff that we can work on.
Yeah, because also exercise is a great stress buster. The amount of people that I talk to who say, oh, no, I'm too stressed, I don't have time for exercise. It's just like, yes, you do. Even if you have to get up earlier, make sure you get up and do that exercise because it is the best. Is that that's all that's kept me on the straight and narrow through all the dodgy times of my life is exercise.
It's the same for me, Kate, with exercise. But I do find, like, there were some clients that I've worked with, particularly there was one marathon runner. She was obviously very stressed at work, and then she was stressing herself out by pushing her body so hard by running. So it was kind of causing more issues on her body, and it was unnecessary. So we worked on changing a few things to do with her exercise. So it would be adding in yoga, maybe a little bit gentler. So if you're having a highly stressful day, don't then go and do HIIT session, because it's just adding more stress to the body, and then you get bloated and constipated and diarrhea.
Joe, that's such a valid point that you've just made, because, I harp on about the benefits of exercise, but it's about taking the right exercise when you need it, because stress, it makes us hold on to cortisol, which makes us hold on or create cortisol, which then makes us hold on to fat. And ultimately, if you're stressed, it's going to make you put weight on, unfortunately. Definitely. And if we stress our body by the wrong exercises, then we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot training hard to do ourselves not so much good.
I know. I actually wrote an article last week on this and how, so say, for example, you come in from a highly stressed day at work and then you eat a piece of chocolate cake because you fancy it. And then you stress out about eating that chocolate cake. So then you go and thrash yourself in the gym. You add more stress to your body. So your cortisol's high. What's the other hormone? What is low?
Adrenaline.
I'm trying to second guess.
Don't worry. Is it a feel good one?
You're in that cycle where you're stressed. It's just. Well, you might as well just enjoy the piece of cake and just deal with it. One bit of cake here and there is fine.
Exactly. And do you spend quite a bit of your time educating people around what they can and can't eat or should and shouldn't eat? Because there's so much conflicting information out there. And, do you cut out all carbs? Do you cut out gluten? Should you cut out protein? Should you become vegan? Should you eat the blood type diet? What do you recommend?
It's all bullshit. Sorry. I look at people's diets. So what I do is I get them to put together a 7-day food diary for me. So that includes weekends, because that's where people kind of go there. that we're going to reach. And I just make little tweaks, and I never tell them you shouldn't eat that, or you shouldn't eat that, or you should be eating that, it's healthier. I just work with them on what they enjoy and what suits their body. When it comes to if they've got digestion problems and bloating, then we would work through a we could either work through tiny little tweaks, or if they're if they're hardcore, we can do an elimination diet, remove the stuff that will flag up as causing bloating, and then we think, like, I don't want anyone to remove anything. I think everything in moderation, and just enjoy life.
Yeah. No, I think that's a recipe for success, because there's just so much conflicting information out there. And, you know, I've tried veganism, and actually I have to say I do enjoy eating vegan. I love animals, so it sorts that part out for me, because if I actually had to, if I had to survive, I would have to kill my own animals. Of course I would, but, you know, I kind of, it makes my halo shine a bit brighter when I go vegan, because I think, oh, that's good. I'm not eating animals, but also I know it's a tricky one. I just think we've got a set of teeth that are designed to eat meat, and, you know, I'm sure that some people are going to say to me, no, actually we haven't, but I just feel that a small amount of good quality meat does enhance our diet. And, you know, having done the extreme of veganism, and then and having been brought up largely on a meat diet, and, you know, a healthy diet, but meat most evenings, and I try and sort of, if I have to say, with the children I eat more meat, because it's convenient, because they eat meat and I'm not going to impose my beliefs on them. But when they've sort of fled the nest, I think I probably will eat more vegan again, because I actually do enjoy a plant-based diet. It just makes me feel good. You know, I feel like I really thrive when I'm eating a plant-based diet.
Yeah, that's actually a really common, because I was vegan for a month, and I kind of, it was fine. I didn't see, I didn't benefit me in any way, but with my brother, so he's a gardener, and he was getting severe low back pain. I was trying to get stretches and things, and then he decided to be a vegan. His back pain went, and that's all he changed. And purely because generally red meat is inflammatory, and veganism just suits him better. But with other people, you know, veganism, it's not going to suit them.
It's a funny one, is it? What about colonic irrigation? Do you suggest that to your clients?
I've done colonics, and I've even done my own coffee enemas at home.
Yeah, I do quite regularly. I have to say, I don't love it. I mean, I do the best butt-clenching walk to the loo that you could ever imagine. It's like, God, there's no cameras in the house. But it's I just think it's so good for our health.
My vote's still out on that. I'm not sure.
That's interesting. What do you think?
I don't know if it affected my gut in a negative way, but I think if people didn't have gut problems, then I think it might suit them. Just purely because I felt like the coffee enemas in particular actually stripped out some good bacteria as well. And because I was really stressed at the time doing coffee enemas, I just think it was an added thing that I shouldn't have been doing. But I would consider doing it now, because I'm in such a better state. Like, I've removed all my intolerances and things. So a coffee enema, I would never say no to it. It was interesting. It was funny, because I was actually living with a girl who's doing the same, and she got me onto coffee enemas. And both of us would do it in the mornings. We'd have to sort out our timing. So once she would start 10 minutes before me, because we only had one toilet.
Oh, gosh.
It was kind of a coffee enema party. Imagine.
No, I'd need it booked for an hour at least.
Yeah, the longer in, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, sorry for those of you that don't like poo. What about your intolerances? How did you discover what you were intolerant to?
I started off by, I recognised that I was getting very bloated and suffering with diarrhoea, and I thought it wasn't normal. So I heard that gluten can cause that. So I removed gluten, and I was still struggling. And then my friend sent me on this intolerance test. It's like a finger prick that you sent away. And I don't really know how thorough they are. I would always go with the elimination diet because I don't think it does. I think it's more, it's better doing the elimination diet. But the it flagged up that I was intolerant to egg whites, egg yolk, cow's milk, lentils, peaches, yeast.
Gosh.
And I was like, what is going on?
Wow. That's quite a diverse variety of fruits and food as well.
No, I think there was a lot of it to do with the fact that I was eating a lot of eggs at the time. Flag up like that. So, again, it all comes back to eating in moderation. But when it comes to the yeast and the dairy, I can have that in small doses now. But before, it would just be a no-go.
And would that tie in with your bodybuilding or your so is it bodybuilding or bikini? I'm never sure what it's called. Is it?
So it's like it's known as bodybuilding, but there's three categories. So you have bikini, fitness, and then bodybuilding. I entered in bikini level because I can't imagine getting like massive guns like that. I didn't know how I could do it, but I thought I'd ease myself in first.
So is that when you were eating all the eggs to sort of with the protein and various bits?
I had the intolerances before that and the just stripping things back. So I didn't have any eggs on this when I was doing my comp prep for 4 months because I was intolerant to them. So I was just living on chicken and salmon and broccoli and rice. I was never hungry, but I was bored.
Yeah. Yeah, that must be quite an intensive to get to that bikini bodybuilding level.
Mm.
Yeah, what is the secret with something like that? Obviously, a lot of physical training, but how does that tie in with your diet for people that want to sort of reduce their body fat and improve their muscle tone, for instance?
It's just eating cleaner, so don't add in. I obviously did an extreme because it was compress and you couldn't have anything. I mean, the last month I had no carbohydrates, I had no coffee, no salt, nothing. It was hardcore, but I would never say that to someone to do if they weren't doing compress. Being aware that sauces count, fizzy drinks count. It's just stripping back to eating whole foods. And you can actually eat a lot more whole foods than you can a processed microwave dinner. So if you want to keep eating throughout the day, just eat like sweet potato and chicken and salads, and you know, carbohydrates are good as well, people.
Yeah, I must admit, I've always eaten pretty much exactly what I want to, but then I'm lucky. I don't have a sweet tooth, and I do like natural food, and I won't eat processed food apart from fish and chips occasionally because I love fish and chips, but you know that's a rare treat. But the rest of it is either you dig it up from the ground or you can pick it from a tree or a bush or it runs in a field when I'm not vegan. And, you know, that's how we work.
Well, don't you find, because I'm doing a lot more work on how your food affects your mind and your concentration. And I really find if I've had a couple of days of crappy food, I can't concentrate. I'm in a bad mood. My energy levels are low, and then if I go back to eating how I would normally, I'm on fire, I'm really motivated, I'm dynamic, and there's a massive thing to do with that, and that's why I'm having to link a lot with gut health and the mind.
Makes so much sense, doesn't it? And I think also once you've educated yourself about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat, you also get that guilt payoff. So, you know, you wake up the next day and you just think, oh, I kind of let myself down yesterday. So you're already starting on a downer. And I know we say you shouldn't because that just stresses you out more. But, you know, we do, don't we? We're all human. And that's kind of it sets you up with the wrong attitude for the rest of the day. But then I guess, you know, you guys, you can go out there and exercise it out and you know, start the day off on a positive note, despite what you did the day before. So
Always start the day off on a positive note.
Yeah,
hit the ground running. Forget about yesterday. You can start again. It's a fresh day.
So, I'm just interested, how on earth did you set up a security guard business in Kenya? I mean, that's just like the most random thing ever.
I know, I love it. So I was working for a security and private investigation firm for about 4 years. And the company was growing from Guildford, then we moved to Walshaw and then London. And then the CEO had this brainwave he wanted to set up a business in Kenya. So I was like, right, how do I go about this? I've done that before in my life. So he put together a business plan. And I did all the research and went out there and kind of had to build contacts out there, understand how things operate in Kenya, because it's completely different to the UK.
Sure.
And it was to set up a security guarding company, because they have guards on everything, from houses to commercial buildings. And it was just amazing experience, and just working with the Kenyans and recruiting people, setting up a location. We were in Nairobi and then moving on to Mombasa. It was an amazing experience.
But you must have learned so much about yourself and communicating with people and, you know, and also how to set up a security guard business.
Definitely. And it's all about contacts. It's all about going out there and talking to the right people, networking your ass off. And people buy from people. You just build strong relationships and know who to talk to. We kind of weren't liked at some point because it was kind of British company coming in and being a security guarding firm, but then everyone loved us. Because we were giving everything ultimately, all local Kenyans.
That is so, I love stories like that. That's it's completely random and totally bizarre and just such a positive story as well. So, listen, we're gonna break for a moment to listen to your song Moby. And then after that, I'm just going to give a sort of a brief synopsis of Moby. Then you've got to tell our audience why you chose this song in particular. That's so cool. And then let's dive deep with your Gut Instinct program afterwards, if that's okay. And we'll sort of find out a few more of the nuances of that. So we're going to take a break. And so it's called Flower by Moby. And see if you can guess which part of the song involves the push-ups. So without further ado, here's the song, and enjoy it.
Green Sally up, green Sally down, left on the dark side of the brown. Green Sally up, green Sally down, left on the dark side of the brown. Green Sally up, green Sally down.
Down, left on the dark side of the ground.
love that song so much. It's so kind of makes you just want to dive up there and do it. So that was brilliant, isn't it? That was Flower by Moby. And actually it's rooted, I don't know if you know this, Laura, but in an old slave song called Green Sally Up that was used to entertain the young African American children. And the lyrics were Green Sally Up, Green Sally Down, one last squat got to tear at the ground. And it was accompanied by a dance where Green Sally referred to the little girls and they'd have to jump up and then squat in rhythm to the sound, to the song. And the last one, I know, to get to the ground, if they didn't squat in time, they were the rotten egg and they then had to go and help the adults in the cotton fields. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea. That's so lovely. It's African as well.
Well, exactly. And then this is the old Miss Lucy's dead and gone, left me here to weep alone, means that the slave owner is dead. And so if you like the fact that she's dead, you clap your hands. And if you don't, then you stay quiet. I just love that so much.
I love it even more now.
You might like it even more after this. Moby contributed his song Flower to the introduction of Nicolas Cage's remake of Gone in 60 Seconds. And Moby is a vegan. He supports animal rights and is an advocate for a variety of causes, including MoveOn.org, the Humane Society and the Farm Sanctuary. So pretty all-round good choice, I think, on that one, Laura. So what made you choose this song in particular?
Oh, this song, every time you hear it, you just want to get up and shake around, really.
Always laugh.
And every time I play it, because I play it at the boot camp, I just throw it in now and then. because I know my clients love it, especially when they have to, if I'm nice, then they'll just do a squat when it's Bring Sally Down. and then Bring Sally Up, they do a jump, like high knee jump. Or I could be nasty and say do a push-up with a burpee. So it depends on how.
Yeah, but that music, I mean, anything like that. I mean, I'm not a good runner. I don't know why. I'm just not built to run. I could swim. I could swim forever. But running, I was just not born to run. But there was one time, I remember it. I was on a treadmill and Train Spotting title song came on, and for some reason, I don't know what it was, is it Born Slippy, I think, I just ran like a demon, and it was literally purely down to the music. It was nothing to do with my technique or my ability, because running I'm useless at, but I just ran and ran and ran, and I could have run, if they played that song again, I could have run it again. And but you know, that Moby song is so cool. I mean, it's just like, it could pump blood and energy to your muscles, even if you're really flaggy. I just love that so much.
Definitely. It's a really cool song. And it's so true about having like some upbeat music just to get you through the rest of the exercises.
Yeah, I think music is way underrated. It's such an emotive thing. So tell us, what about your gut? Let's get into the nitty gritty of your gut instinct 3-month program then.
Okay, cool. 3 months, I wanted it to be very much about the individual, not a cookie cutter thing, and it's very holistic, because I didn't just want to offer nutrition, because that's all well and good to help you with your gut health, but if you're highly stressed and you're not sleeping, then it's not going to work, as well as if you're like over-exercising and then you're eating fine, what else is going on? So I wanted it to look at the individual as a whole, what is exactly going on. So I literally just get involved in their life. It's a very thorough initial consultation to find out what's going on across the board, and I'm pretty much their best friend for 3 months, and understanding everything that's going on, from their food to their, you know, family lives, and
What's sort of the ideal client that, not the ideal client, because that just sounds a bit discriminatory, but, you know, what's the sort of person that would come to find you, or that you could actually help benefit in their life?
Yeah, so it's specifically for women, I find, because they suffer a lot more with gut health. I don't know if it's because they're more aware of it, or they want to change things more, or what it is. And maybe 35 to 55-year-olds, because they're they tend to suffer a bit more with stress or find it harder to manage the stress, then ultimately getting inflamed guts and they're having to deal with a lot more. And one of my months, I do a lot of self-care work. So we go through a self-care quiz at the beginning of it and understand exactly if they're putting themselves first and it's okay to put yourself first and enjoy your life and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as mothers. So, well, do you have children?
No, I don't. I am five.
Oh, so you're good at sort of taking the fifth spot every now and again as well.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
You know, we get so used to putting other people before ourselves. And I'm as guilty of it as anyone else. My kids always come first, unless, you know, it's something where they just shouldn't do. But, you know, on the whole, they're my number one priority. Yeah. And I think we're so good. And then we feel guilty when we do put ourselves first.
I know. And the thing is, if you do put yourself first for a bit, you're going to have more energy and you're going to have more passion to go and, like, put them first.
Yeah. I agree. I was chatting to a lady yesterday who is currently going through a divorce, and she's got children, and she was saying that she needed to talk, and she removed herself from the situation at home, and the children were a little bit flabbergasted because she'd left the home for a while. The dad was there, the children were safe, they're old enough to look after themselves. But
yeah,
she said, I had to go. I just needed some time to myself to put my brain in order so I can go back and be a better mum again. And, you know, it was so right. It was absolutely spot on what she did. But so few of us do treat ourselves kindly. And I think also as women, oh, God, we're such victims to our hormones.
Oh, massively. That can definitely affect
the
gut as well.
And menopausal, I think that's a real struggle for some women because your shape does tend to change, and but you're never sure whether it's changing because it's menopausal, or you're never sure if you're just getting fat. You know, how do you deal with ladies that are in their menopause out of interest? You know, that often your belly or your tummy doesn't sort of stay as flat as it used to do.
It's all about, I do a lot of visualization stuff because so many people don't actually know how they want to look or how they want to feel because they never spend the time on visualizing what they want to feel like. They're constantly saying, I don't like this, I don't like that. It's all very negative. So doing a lot of work on, okay, well, how do you want to look? Talk to me about how you want to look. How do you feel? Maybe put together like a little collage and put it up and feel how you want to feel every day, and you can get there because then you know exactly where you want to go.
Yeah, so that's a good idea actually. But you know, with things like you know, if you've established who you want to be or what you want to look like, how then do you incorporate, say, you know, a 50-year-old woman who is menopausal, whether she's post Perry or, you know, going through it at the time, you know, how do you then deal with the image that she probably wants to look like she did 5 years before she became menopausal, but her body's telling her, actually, this is, you're kind of not going to get there, babe. You know, how do you deal with that?
Thing is, like, there's no reason for her not to be able to get there. A lot of people put themselves down in their head saying it is just their age, but it's so much about your mindset. And I do a lot of work with that person on how they feel, if there's any limiting beliefs coming up for them. There's a lot of listening, a lot of coaching around that. Just because ultimately it's in the mind, and however you want to feel is there.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, when you get into sort of like your tummy, because your girth does tend to thicken as you get older. You know, are there specific nutritional things that older women should be doing, or is it just a matter of sort of perhaps reducing portion size and just maintaining a good level of fitness?
Yeah, again, it would be looking at what they're already doing at the moment to see where tweaks you need to make. I do talk a bit about anti-inflammatory food, eating the rainbow. This week is actually all about Rainbow Week. I'm posting on my Facebook about adding more variety into your diet can actually improve your health massively because we just don't get enough of it.
Expand on that a bit. I saw that on your website, and it's actually something I wanted to ask you about, because they always say, well, the experts always say, you know, eat as many different colours as you can, and I think that's absolutely right, because they all contain different sort of anthocyanins and various nutrients and minerals. So, yeah, expand a bit more on your Rainbow Week then, Lara, please.
Yeah, so the thing behind that is that the more variety you have in fruit and veg, and other things, the more variety you get of the good bacteria in your gut. So every day I'm releasing a different colour. So today's Monday, it's red. So I've put together like a sort of energizer smoothie, bright red colour. And I've put together all of the different health benefits of each of those items. So the main item being beetroot, information about that, and then the recipe at the end, and little snippets of me making it and picking it from our garden, because a lot of the fruit and veg I've picked locally from our garden, because it's all about local and seasonal fruit and veg.
That's such a good idea. I'm going to sign up for that. And then do I go to is it at larajezef.com? Can I link up to it that way?
It's on my Facebook page. It's under Function at Your Best.
Okay, Function at Your Best, and that's Lara's Facebook page. And again, I'll include notes for that in the show note, or links to that in the show notes. So Function at Your Best on Facebook.
Yeah.
And can anyone sign up for that?
Oh, yeah, just like the page and you'll receive all of the updates every day.
Oh, brilliant. I'm doing that as soon as I come off the interview. And I love beetroot, so that's so groovy.
Oh, me too. I didn't even know how to cook like proper local beetroot, and how it completely tastes different from shop-bought beetroot.
Oh, it's lovely. It's so earthy, and it's just got that minerally taste that I just absolutely adore.
Dessert,
oh, that's so cool. So does that form part of your gut instinct program, or is that a separate thing?
No, massively. So the first stage is I kind of work with a person on their, like, removing certain foods that could flag up for them for 5 to 6 weeks, and in that time, so it's kind of, you remove it, and in that time you repair it. So you repair the gut with eating the rainbow, improving your good fats. Having some good fats in your diet is good, and stuff like bone broth. I'm a massive fan of bone broth, as a really it actually repairs the gut lining.
Oh, do you know what? I've read a lot about bone broth, particularly on some of the cancer websites, because I'm not volunteering at the moment, but I volunteer in hospice and work with a lot of cancer patients. And I just keep sort of informed about the various cancer-related things out there. But I've seen so much about bone broth. Go into that a bit more, because to me, even though I like marrow, I actually quite enjoy the flavour, especially of chicken marrow. The idea of bone broth is just kind of like, ugh. What is it?
I know. It's weird as well. Like, I tried, it was hard for me to get used to, but it ultimately didn't taste that much of anything. I mean, it's so, like, gloopy. I actually, if I'm not making it myself, there's stuff in... I think it's Waitrose, that's literally just the tasty bone broth. It doesn't have anything else added to it, which is great. And it's just like a tablespoon. Have, like, before you go to bed, with like some salt and pepper and a teaspoon of honey if you don't have any issues with sugar. And it's so good for you. And you can even
what
add...
What does it do?
Because it's got that added collagen in it, it actually helps with your skin and your hair. It just boosts your immune system and the gut lining. So if you've got stuff like leaky gut, which could be the reason why you're getting intolerances and symptoms like bloating and diarrhea, it actually repairs the gut lining while you've removed these foods that are causing the inflammation.
That's such a, I'm going to get some, especially if it helps my hair.
Oh,
collagen.
Yeah. My nails are
47 this year. I need some collagen.
Get some collagen in here.
What about live yogurt and things like that? Are you a good, you know, a proponent of eating live foods?
Yeah, very much so, rather than supplements. I always go for the whole foods rather than supplements where you can. And I recently did some study on probiotic foods and if any of them are actually good for the gut or not. And all of the yogurt-based stuff, obviously not sugar-based, but full-fat, organic, live, natural yogurt is great for you. But good. When a lot of people talk about sauerkraut is a good probiotic food, but it actually gets killed in the stomach acid before it ever reaches the gut. So you're better off having some good fats, and yogurt is the best way.
Good. Well, I like live yogurt, and I must admit, I never waste my money on those really expensive, highly sugared. Don't waste your money, people, on those things that are in those tiny little bottles that are really runny and they're super sweet, and they say they've got live bacteria in because they're just ripping you off. Just go and eat some normal, natural live yogurt. It's way better for you.
Yeah, that reminds me of I do something else on looking at food labels. So I just tell the clients to go and spend a week on actually looking at what's in their food that they would normally go for, and the amount of sugar and salt and when they say here's a good protein drink, when it's like there's no protein in there, it's all sugar.
You do have to educate yourself, don't you? And you do need to actually, while you're doing that process, you've got to keep looking at the labels, because there's so much rubbish out there that's called natural or healthy. I don't know how they're allowed to get away with it, and it really annoys me that they do. But, you know, if you really want to take control of your health, you have got to take control of your education around what you're eating and what you're drinking.
So much so. Totally agree, Kate.
What's your, because I mean, coconut oil, there's so much information about coconut oil, and I'd be, I do cook with it because it's a fat that cooks at high temperatures, and you know, again, it's a saturated fat, so we don't want to overdo it, but it's a way, way better than a lot of the other fats out there. So what's your idea on coconut oil?
I love coconut oil. I have it, thing. I have a teaspoon of it a day. I stick it in my hair, put it on my skin. I actually did a fast where it was just high fat for 5 days. Research now is saying high fats are amazing for gut health, and they've helped with people with Crohn's disease. Good fats all the way forward.
And what about natural butter, you know, fresh organic butter? What's your thought on that one?
Massively. Go for anything decent quality like that. Good, like, don't shy away from stuff like that. Even full fat organic milk, local preferably, so there's no hormones added to it. And full fat butter, proper butter, not this margarine.
Yeah. Good. Oh, that's good. I'm doing something right. Because I've always been a great proponent of butter and also coconut oil. And people say, no, but it's fat. It's just like, but we need fat. We just don't need sugar.
We don't need sugar. Eat the fat. Plus, fat is more satisfying, so you'll end up eating less anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm so pleased you've said that. Now, I just wanted to go on to quickly that you're writing a book. Now, you're not allowed to say one of the words in the possible title.
Okay.
But you can refer to it. But give us the title and explain sort of what the basis of the book is about.
Okay. So I'm skirting around the name. It's meant to be chill the F out and get real. It's ultimately about stripping it all back. None of these foods, these fatty diets, overthinking everything, overthinking our exercise, overthinking what we should and shouldn't be doing, what we should and shouldn't be eating. It's all about just being, enjoying the moment, exercising. Do exercises that you love doing. Don't go to the gym if you don't enjoy doing it. Eat food that you enjoy the taste of, moderation with everything. Eat local seasonal food. Eat until you're full. Stop when you're full. Eat when you're hungry and actually hungry, when your stomach's rumbling. It's kind of all just taking it back to basics and stop overthinking it. Chill the F out.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think I love the fact that you're saying this, because it is, it's all about balance. And there's so much stress out there around food and exercise and what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But actually, you know, we've been living as humans ever since humans began. And we've been eating what was readily available or what we caught, you know, if it wasn't processed and it didn't have sugar and salt added to it, and we were reasonably active and we drank lots of water and we didn't we didn't smoke and we didn't do too much alcohol and stuff like that. And it is, yeah, it's all about balance. And ideally, like your your Kickstart program, your rainbow week, eating, yeah, as many colors of the rainbow as you can do.
Yeah, you don't realize,
and listening to your body.
Definitely.
So, when is that book likely to be published then, Lara? I know that's probably a lot of pressure to put on you because you're not there yet. But have you got a date in mind?
Probably, I'd love it to be this year. But I've put myself under a lot of pressure already. So maybe beginning of next year, early next year.
Okay, well, when you get that published, let me know and I will make sure that I promote it to everybody on the Coach on Fire Radio Network. And then if anybody wants to get hold of it, then they can do. And we'll be waiting for it.
Decide on if I should call it the actual name or hone it in a bit.
Yeah, whenever you get your title finally finalized and you've finally written the book, I will look forward to reading it. So what would you say is the one thing, because we've got just a couple of minutes left, what's the one thing that you would say is absolutely essential to you in your practice?
Drinking lots of water and being happy.
Yes, good.
Ultimately, it all boils down to, if you're happy and your outlook on life is generally present and happy, you've got it good. And drinking lots of water. None of us, every single person I see as a client, doesn't drink enough water.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So, what do you recommend people drink? Bottled water or filtered water? And how much do you recommend they drink?
See, I'm with the water thing. I'm still researching. I've actually got a selection of waters that I've bought from all different stores, and I'm going to do an alkaline test on them all.
Oh, brilliant!
Yeah, so watch for that coming. And I actually use a Brita filter, but I don't think that's as good. You're meant to get these amazing filters on your taps, which is ultimately the best to go for. But yeah, bottled water. And don't keep replacing the water in the same plastic bottle.
Okay, so bottled water ideally, or get one of those really cool filters for your tap.
Yeah.
I use the Brita filter like you at the moment, but I still think it's better than nothing.
And oh, yeah.
Personally, I drink about 8 pints a day, and that kind of keeps me super happy, and I feel like that's sufficient.
You know, when I was on my prep comp, it was called Peak Week, so it's the week before you're about to go on stage. I had to drink 10 litres of water for 2 days.
Oh my gosh, just to wash everything out?
Yeah, just to get flush everything out. And then when you start dehydrating yourself, all of your skin just sucks to all of your muscles and your veins ready for stage.
Oh my goodness, sounds painful. Well, I'm going to make sure everything that you've related to today, Lara, I will include in the show notes. And they'll also be on the radio show page on my website, which is flourishtherapy.co.uk. Thank you so much, Lara, for inspiring us to look after our gut health. Just keep us posted with your book and your challenges. And, you know, I will spread the word as much as I can do. To our listeners, thank you so much for being here. This was episode 13 of the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show with me, Kate Hartley. And Lara Jessef was my inspiring guest. And you can find out more about Lara at larajessef.com. So until next time, I'm wishing you a very, very good week and all the best of luck, and goodbye from us both.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Lara. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.